Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging. How many of you guys are watching the NBA playoffs right now?
Eric's like, yeah, there's a few. So we're coming into the conference final. Conference finals. Can you believe this? Golden State Warriors, they're in this thing. So, yeah, you guys need to watch more basketball. Oklahoma City Thunder, Cleveland Cavs, LeBron James, come on. Toronto Raptors, they got the sickest logo in the world. Basketball's like, boom, clawed right through. Thing's awesome. Well, I've been watching a little bit of basketball, even though you guys know I can't play basketball. Like, this is my extent of, like, slam dunk. I'm like, yeah. Like, I can do this. This is my kind of basketball, okay? That's why it's here. I feel good about myself. I even wore my basketball shoes today. I feel like I know what I'm doing when I wear these shoes. So I've been watching a little bit of basketball. I don't know a ton about it, but I know we're in the conference finals. And I know next we're going to go to the championship finals. And my guess is Golden State Warriors against Cleveland Cavs. Am I right, Eric? Is that? No? No? Maybe. Steph Curry against LeBron James. That'd be sick. That'd be cool. But I don't know. Well, even though I've been watching basketball, March Madness was kind of on my mind a little bit. MSU fans. It was bad. But so it was bad for U of M, too. So either way, Sweet 16 was not anything that we did well. And so, but in college basketball, as I was thinking of this being in a Big Ten city, in college basketball, they have this awesome tradition. When they win the tournament, they get up there and they cut down the net and they're like, "Oh, victory." And I just think that's such a cool symbol and reminder of what they just won. Every person on the team gets a piece of that net, and it's just an exciting moment, and it's such a special time in their lives climbing that ladder up. They're like, "We're here," cutting it down. They get the win. But I want to ask you tonight, what do you think would happen? What do you think would happen if the opposing on a basketball game came into the room and they put the ladder up and they go up there and they're like cutting down the net before the game starts? They get in their huddle and they're like, "I believe that we will." And they're just like, "Oh, yeah." What do you think would happen, man? You want to talk about intimidation? They wouldn't have a game, so they'd be like, "We don't have a net now." But can you imagine going into that situation with such confidence, cutting down the net before you've even got it, and you're saying, "It's right here. Got this." You go in with confidence. I think the other team wouldn't even play. They'd be like, "You know what? We're not going to win this thing." And when you think of this in your own life, when you think of there's times in your life when you've known the outcome of something, it affects how you go into it. Finals coming up. Some of you are like knowing you're going to rock these things because you've done good in this class. You've been studying. You know the content. You're like, "This is an easy one." And some of you are like, "I know I'm still going to fail this thing because I've been sleeping in all of my classes and I haven't been studying." You know the outcome. It changes how you go into it. You even think of preparing for sports. Sometimes you get that ball and there's that shot and you're like, up it goes. And you know it's going to go in because you've made that shot thousands of times in practice. It's muscle memory at this point. You're like, it's in. You know the outcome. When it's a good outcome, we go into something with confidence. Got this. If it's a negative outcome, we feel like, "Why try? What's the point?" We're kind of downcast. You're like, "Eh, I don't know about this." But what if in life? What if in our relationship with Christ? What if we climb the ladder now? What if we cut down the net now? What if we don't wait for the end to say, "I've got the win"? What if we declare the win through Christ now? I think it's time to cut down the nets. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this amazing group of young people. God, I thank you for their heart and their passion for you. And Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I pray that you will stick it deep into their hearts, plant it in good soil. Lord, open our hearts to receive it, God. And I just pray that you will bless your word. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for those of you that have a Bible, go ahead and open that thing up to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we're in verses 1 through 2. Verses 1 through 2. So while you're turning there, Hebrews is such an amazing book of the Bible. We're in Hebrews 12, the chapter before it. Some of you may remember our Monsters of Faith series. We got the banner. It's cool looking. Hebrews 11 outlines the monsters of faith, or the heroes of faith, if you will. These were ones, it was like the hall of fame of faith. They were ones in life who had went in and they cut down the net. They walked in the wind. Ones like Enoch, you guys know who he is? He's a man who was just in complete beast mode his entire life to the point where he didn't even die. Like he was taken up to heaven. How cool is that? Be so close to God that he says, you know what, you don't even need to worry about death. Just come home right now. About Noah, you guys know him. He built a really big boat in the middle of a desert when there was no rain. And everybody thought he was crazy because his faith was given to him. And God used that opportunity to rebuild humanity. Or Abraham, Father Abraham, had many sons. I was waiting for that. You guys know who Father Abraham is. Birth of the Jewish nation came out of him. Others in Hebrews 11, like Joseph or Moses or David, as in King David. Moses, the one who brought the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage and slavery. Man, heroes of the faith. And the list goes on and on of these amazing heroes. And so in light of that, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, so those who have gone before us, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. I love that scripture. And I wish we had more time together tonight to really dive in more with this. So we could spend hours on just this one passage of scripture. It's that incredible. But what I want you guys to get tonight is as followers of Jesus, we know the outcome of the game of life. We know the outcome. If you are an authentic follower of Christ, if you've surrendered your life to him, if you follow him, you know that the enemy is defeated. You know that there's going to come a day when your earthly body will pass away, but you're going to live forever in the presence of Jesus. We know that there's victory over sin and death. We know that there's no more sickness or death or dying. We know there's no more troubles and no more sin. We're forever in the presence of our Creator. Man, I'm pumped about that. Let me tell you, there's not a day that goes by where I don't think, why can't I just be with Jesus? What a greater honor. No greater honor that I can think of. But in light of all that, in light of what is coming for us who are believers, we know because of that we run our race a little bit differently, don't we? We run a little bit differently. We know the outcome that if we stay in that walk with Christ, we know we've got the win. We run different, we fight different, we go in with confidence. And Hebrews 12 is telling us that in light of those who have gone before us, because of all the heroes, of all the monsters of faith outlined in Hebrews 11, to throw off or to cut down the nets in our lives, the things that hold us back, the things that trip us up so we can finish strong, to fix our eyes on Christ alone, the one who's authored your faith. Now, I think this is so amazing that God would call these people in Hebrews 11 heroes, because there are people like you and I who had failures and shortcomings and issues. They weren't perfect, but God still used them, because in their lives they cut down the net, they held it up, and they said, I'll walk in the victory of who God is. And God used them. They seen miracles happen. They were used by God in powerful ways because they declared the win, because they cut down the nets in their lives. I want to challenge you tonight. Cut down the nets in your life. Declare the win. What this means is identifying the things that are entangling you, the things that are holding you up, and then pursuing a life of holiness, removing those out as a sign of obedience to Christ. So what net are you facing tonight? What net? I just want to go through a couple of them real quick. First net I want to talk about is the net of negative or neutral friends. Now, I put neutral friends in this because I don't believe there's such a thing. Your friends either bring you up or they bring you down. You're not going to find a parallel friendship. And what I mean by that is your friends are either going to encourage you in your pursuits of Christ or they're going to hinder you from it. The question I want to pose is, who has access to your heart? Who has access to your heart? And this is an important question to ask, because those who have access have influence. Those who you give access to have influence.
to your heart. They mold who you are. They shape who you are. That's why it's important. You've heard Mandy and I say this before. You need to have authentic Christ followers in positions of influence in your life because they will challenge you in growth and obedience to Jesus. They will challenge you in that. This is why family, this is why community is so important. This is why community and unity was so important to Jesus. This is why we push a family feel so much at rage. And when we say that, it's not anything shallow. It's not anything fake. You are part of a family here. You're part of a family because we do life together. We mean that because we want to encourage each other in our pursuits of Christ. I want you to think of the names of your three closest friends. Three closest friends. And if you analyze who they are, can you honestly say, are they challenging you to be closer to Christ? Are they challenging you in a positive way to grow closer to Jesus? I want you to get this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Giving people the wrong places in your heart leads you to the wrong places in life. Giving people the wrong places in your heart will put you in the wrong places in life. I want you to understand that. Mentor of mine, I've heard her say it a bunch of times, says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Because the people we allow influence us, mold us, and shape us. And I want to give a disclaimer here. Because I know there's some people that are like, well, this just means that, you know, I can't do the Great Commission, so I don't do mission trips. Okay, let's not over-spiritualize stuff here, okay? The Lord has called us to the Great Commission, and we are to reach the lost and the broken and the hurting and the dying, and we've all been in that situation. Jesus did outreach, and he sat with people who didn't know him, people who weren't living lives that were pursuing holiness, but he did not give them a position of core influence in his heart and in his life. He has 12 disciples and his three core in the inside of that. You need to balance this. Balance it. What I'm talking about is the negative influences or the ones that you think are neutral. Don't give them a place of influence in your heart. You still need to balance loving them and reaching out to them. But you should have your core of other believers and Christians around you helping you, grow in Christ and pursuing that. So in your life, if some of the strings that are holding you back are friendships that aren't God-honoring, I want to challenge you tonight. I think it's time that you start cutting some nets. Start cutting them down. What negative friends or neutral friends are in your life that you need to just hold at a distance and pull them out of that place of influence? It's time to cut down the nets. Another net I want to talk to you about tonight is the net of emotions. The net of emotions. Now, I'm not talking about like sensitive, like being sensitive, like you're watching a movie, you're watching Princess Bride, and you're crying, and you're like, oh. I'm not talking about that, okay? Emotions, I believe, and I know, are a gift from God. They are because he created us with them. There's nothing wrong with being sensitive. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with showing emotion. What I'm talking about here are the negative emotions that you allow into your life that affect your self-talk. And what your self-talk is it's how you perceive yourself to a situation or to a relationship. Let me give you an example here. Austin, you play the keys amazingly. And we see it every Wednesday. But what happens, Austin, if somebody comes up to you and says, Austin, you'll never learn how to play the keys. You're never going to be good at them. You're never going to be able to use that. You might as well just quit now. You know in your mind, I got this. I already know how to play the keys. I know who I am. You're confident in it. See, what happens is a voice comes in, and if we aren't quite sure on something when we process it, it can mess with our outcome. And what I mean by this is if we're not confident in who we are, it molds our self-talk. Because if Austin didn't have positive self-talk in his life about how he plays the keys and somebody said that to him, he'd quit. Do you guys know that you talk somewhere around 180 words per minute? That's the average. I think us in Michigan, we talk a little faster because we blur a bunch of words together. And it's funny whenever we go to the South, they're like, are you from Canada? I'm like, no. It's because I blur my words together.
so I need to learn to enunciate better. But we speak as humans. We talk about 180 words per minute on average. But your thoughts, you process 650 thoughts on average per minute. Conscious and subconscious both. And you find that your self-talk, the way you perceive yourself, the things you say about yourself mold how those thoughts are perceived. They shape them. Now, Romans 12:2 tells us not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And it says, then we'll be able to approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What this means is when you give Jesus access to all of you, when you accept what his word, what his standard says about you, your mind becomes transformed, it becomes washed, it becomes renewed, because you can hear the voice of God clearly. You know who you are. You're confident in it. You guys ever had a background noise distract you from something when you're trying to... Yeah. So I used to be an automotive technician, and we had to take tests to be able to work on vehicles by state law. And we had to pass these tests. Whenever you go into a vehicle repair shop, they're displayed on the wall. Well, you take these tests at the Secretary of State. And whenever I would go in to take one of these tests, you have to retest every few years, they throw you in this little cubicle. And normally people talking on cell phones or visiting is no big deal. But when you're really trying to, like, crunch out some serious, like, hard mental questions, every noise is like, oh, and I remember sitting there being like, just trying to plug my ears so I can focus in because of the distraction and the noise behind me seems so loud I couldn't focus. And in our world, we have so many voices, so many noises coming into our mind that we have to have a filter. And that filter is God's word. I want you guys to think back to winter camp for a moment. What was the theme? Identity. Identity. It was a statement. Who I am. I just heard it. Who I am. It wasn't a question, it was a statement. It was a statement of your identity in Christ. And I want you guys, when you get home, pull out the book that came out of our small groups in there and look over the scriptures that talk about identity. Things like this, Genesis 1:27, you were created in God's own image. 2 Timothy 2:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. John 15:15, as his disciple, you are a friend of Christ. Think of Ephesians 1:3. You've been personally chosen by God and adopted as a child into his family. Think of that one. Ephesians 2:10, you're God's prized workmanship, his masterpiece. Incredible. Man, there's so many more scriptures that begin to speak of our identity. Thousands in the Bible. But when we begin to filter who we are through what God's word says we are, some of those background noises, the things other people say, this negative self-talk that we so often bring on ourselves begins to melt away. It's important to go and wash over these scriptures in your mind regular. There was a motivational speaker by the name of Zig Ziglar, and he was quoted as saying, people often tell me that mental motivation doesn't last. I tell them neither does bathing. That's why it's required daily. And it's the same time getting into God's word, allowing his word to wash you because it changes our self-talk. You think of words of life when we've done mission trips. Mandy and I will sit there and we'll watch you. Some of you, actually, I haven't yet to see a student that's walked in there just, yeah. Looking. Everybody walks in, they kind of bring their heads down a little bit and they're looking up. But by the end of getting around that circle, it's like, whew, man, we feel confident. We feel like I got this. It's because you're hearing truth of the qualities of who you are. Imagine washing over in God's word every day, allowing these scriptures to filter what the world says about you. When you're living in your identity of who you are in Christ, it's easy to know what's truth and what's not. And in your relationship with Jesus, you need to allow him to have access into the deepest parts of your heart, your thoughts, your emotions, your relationship. He's an all-in God, and he wants all of you. And when you do that, when you let Scripture wash over it, you see your mind renewed.
You see yourself challenged. You begin to see the transformation. Allow Jesus to speak to those places that say, I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not smart enough. It's time to turn your eyes into wise. You need to look at this and say, why am I not talented enough? Why am I not smart enough? Why am I not good enough? Why would I not be capable? Because I know who I am in Christ. I know who I am in Jesus. I should have been a louder response than that. I'll tell you that. You need to be confident in who you are in Christ. You are His chosen. Combat the self-talk. Begin to cut down the net and let Christ wash your mind. Those negative emotions, start cutting them down. So if your self-talk and your eternal emotions are tearing you down, you need to let Jesus wash over it. And I think it's time that you begin to cut down the nets of the negative emotions and self-talk in this place tonight. Stand on the truth of who you are in Christ. Another net I want to talk about tonight is the net of temptation. And I want to be clear here. This is the part of the net that trips you up. Now, temptation itself is not a sin. Jesus Himself was tempted, but we know that He lived a perfect and sinless life. So I'm not saying that you're never going to be tempted, or if you do get tempted, you're doing something wrong. What I am talking about here is what things are in your life that are baiting in temptation. That dating relationship that you're in that you keep compromising because you know you shouldn't be in it. And you're doing things that aren't according to God's holiness or to His standards. That iPhone that's in your pocket that you have zero restrictions or accountability on, that's compromising your integrity. Those parties that you keep going to, before you even leave, you regret that you even went because of the things you take part in. The types of movies and music that you allow to influence your heart. Maybe it's a pressure to perform, the pressure to achieve, to the point where you are putting God on a back burner. That's idolatry. I shall have no other gods before me. It's worshiping the unknown God of performance. Maybe it's friends in your life that just keep putting situations in front of you that you know aren't pleasing to the Lord. See, guys, often our biggest failures come from our own self-inflicted tripwires. We blame the enemy for, oh man, he stumbled and he threw this in front of me, but we're the ones that laid the wire out and we tripped ourselves over it because we weren't willing to just pursue Christ, to cut that thing out of our life. Our biggest failures often come from ourselves. See, Jesus didn't die for you to just linger in temptation and just try to muster through and barely make it. He didn't resurrect to keep you from just barely getting through from failure. Jesus died and resurrected so you could win. He died and resurrected, laid His life down, and loved you so much so you're no longer bound by sin. So you can be set free, so you can move forward in confidence, but we keep tripping ourselves up because we're not willing to cut the nets. So I want you today, this nets in your life, situations that you're putting in your life that begin to come in and invite in temptation, I want you to cut them down. And what you end up with is a symbol of victory. A symbol of victory. Everybody go ahead, bow their heads and just close their eyes. I just want to be real with you for a little bit tonight. You can't walk in the wind if you don't have a relationship with the one who provided the win. What I mean by that is to be on a winning team, you need to be part of the team. And so tonight as I was talking, I believe there's people here that would say, I've heard of Jesus, I've given my life to Him before, or maybe you're at a place where you've just never given your life to Him. I want to invite you tonight, if you want to cut down the net, if you want freedom, if you want victory, you first got to be on the team. So if that's you, maybe for the first time, or if you've done it before, coming back to Him. If that's you, you're saying, Pastor Carl, I realize I'm away from the Lord. I just want to have a right standing with Him. I want to have a right relationship. If that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Give it just a few more moments. The Lord's pulling on your heart and you're saying, man, I know I'm not where I need to be. Jesus just wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to let you walk in victory. Is there anybody else? Those five of you that just raised your hands, I'm going to ask you to do something brave. With every head still bowed, every eye still closed, I'm just going to ask you to slip to the back. There's some few people back there that want to pray with you. If you're scared to go by yourself, grab the person next to you. Be like, hey, man, come with me. I'm going to ask you to be courageous. I'm going to ask you to step out and to do that. For the rest of you, just by show of hands, how many more would say, I have some nuts in my life that need to be cut down? I've got some negative friends. I've got some negative self-talk. I've got some things I'm doing that are baiting in temptation. Thank you. Just by show of hands, how many? We all have things in our lives. I want to encourage you. What are you waiting for? What's holding you back? You guys can look up here. I want you to get this. The very things that the enemy would use to take you out with are the strings that when you cut them, the Lord will use to hold up and to show victory. In my past, I've had issues with drug addiction. I've had issues with anger, and they're all different things that would trip me up. But because I was willing to cut the nets, and I declared the freedom in Jesus, and I stood on his authority and allowed him to cleanse me, it wasn't by me, it was by Jesus. Those are things now I can hold up, and I can help other people. See, because God doesn't waste things. And you are not a failure, you are not a waste. So the nets in your life, when you cut them, they'll become the very symbol of victory. You may not have the win yet, but in and through Jesus, you can stand in the victory that was provided to you on the cross. You can pursue a life of holiness and relationship. You can stand in the W. When you know you're going to win, you run a little different. You walk a little different. You know the outcome. It changes the whole game. So what I want to do, just in our remaining moments together, there's going to be some light worship music coming on. I'm going to invite you. If you're here tonight and you're saying, man, there's nets in my life. Pastor Carl, I've got some things going on, whether it's with temptations or negative emotions or negative friends. Maybe it's a totally different net that you're struggling with. I want to encourage you to come up and find a place at the altar. But on your way up, I've got this basket full of cut nets. I want you to grab one. And I want you to find a place that you can start talking to Jesus and hold this as a symbol to say, Lord, tonight's the night. Chains will be broken tonight. The freedom will come tonight. I'll find the courage tonight. I'll be set free of the fear tonight.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.